What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. I hope that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're having a great day. I know I am. It is Tuesday out here, November 15th of the year 2022. And today, I have major updates on some old stories for you guys. What is up to everybody in the chat? Julian, Regal, Iron Lotus, Sergeant Valdez, what is up? Kitty, great to see you. Welcome, everybody, and everybody else who hasn't had a chance to check in yet. Thank you for joining me. Sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I was at a doctor's appointment, but everything's going all good with that. So I appreciate everyone who hit me up asking me how I'm doing. Thank you very much. Eviana, what is up? Great to see you in the chat. Very, very awesome to have you here. Folks, before we do anything at all in this show, I got to give you an update on the Indiegogo. Julian, the jiu-jitsu film about courage, my new project, has currently raised $3,230-ish if you count the super chats from last week and the private donations that we've gotten. Folks, $3,200. I'm blown away by the generosity, and thank you so much. If you haven't had a chance yet, please, in the description of this video, there is the link to the Indiegogo campaign. Check out the full video there. If you have $1 or $1,000, whatever it is, please take a moment, see if there's something you can contribute. And if there's not something you can contribute financially, then please share this link on your social medias and let people know what we're doing out there. We're trying to raise money to make an awesome film about an incredible story. And it would mean so much to me if you guys took the time to go check that out. It is, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So thank you everyone who's already been a part of that and everyone who will continue to be a part of it. Thank you so much. This episode, welcome to, I don't know what to call this, the react-a-thon. We're going to be reacting to a bunch of things, but I also have a bunch of stories for you guys. Sam, what is up? Great to see you in the chat. There is a story from this past weekend that I think probably everyone out there has seen, but I'm not sure. We're going to take a second, folks. This next video is going to be a little graphic. Not necessarily graphic in the sense of you're going to see something gross, but graphic in the sense that it's an absolute tragedy. You might have seen this. Over the weekend at an air show, there was a mid-air collision, and we're going to talk about that. But first, if you have, in case you have not seen it, here's a video from there. Let's take a look at this, and you guys can all be aware of what happened. Oh, my God. So that is Are you serious, bro? That is an unbelievable clip from a Dallas air show. Six people on board those between those two aircraft, including veterans, local city leaders, and experienced pilots. So that is an absolute tragedy. But now they've confirmed six people killed after that mid-air crash at a Dallas air show featuring historic military aircraft. According to our Dallas County Medical Examiner, there are a total of six fatalities from yesterday's Wings Over Dallas air show. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins tweeted Sunday, authorities are continuing to identify the victims, and you know they'll let the family members know and before they put anything out into the public. It says here, emergency crews raced to the scene at the Dallas Executive Airport, 10 miles from the city's downtown. News footage from the scene showed crumpled wreckage of the planes in a grassy area inside the airport perimeter. It's insane to me that that collision happened. You know, the most dangerous place that pilots fly is around airports. That's where the airspace is most congested. And flying is very, very complicated. Even in a plane that has full autopilot, when you get into congested airspace, like around an airport, flying and the rules of aviation and the airspace around controlled areas is insanely dangerous. It takes a high level of professionalism, knowledge, competency, and peace of mind to navigate an aircraft through an airport, through a busy airport where there could be dozens and dozens of airplanes flying at the same time at high rates of speed, changing altitudes, and all trying to effectively go to the same place, which is that runway. And they had this air show, and that plane, the big one and that was hit by the smaller one, looks like it was also a big part of the community where that aircraft frequently flies around the town and shows off to, you know, the kids and the families of that area. So it's horrible. And from people there, Anthony Montoya, a witness, says, I just stood there. I was in complete shock and disbelief. Everybody around was gasping. Everybody was bursting into tears. Everybody was in shock. Yeah, you see that and you go, did that really just happen? And when that small plane crashed into what you would probably call the tail cone, I never worked on that aircraft, but I imagine they would call that the tail cone, it probably immediately completely shocked everyone else on board that aircraft. They had seconds between then and hitting the ground, probably where they had no idea what just happened. The person in the smaller aircraft probably instantly killed, and the people in the larger aircraft probably when it hit the ground. It is horrible. It's horrifying. So I just want to say to the crew's family out there, that is a tragedy, and my heart's with you. Thank you for the contribution to the community of flying those planes around and putting on those shows and honoring military history with those aircraft. And geez Louise, an absolute catastrophe out there in Texas. If anybody has any, you know, firsthand experience with that air show or anybody involved, let me know in the comments. I'm curious to hear it. Wow. Not good. Not good. AN, what's up? Harry Lime Pie, what's up? Welcome to the chat, everybody. You know, we've got to get, you know how we do it on the Scuttlebutt Show. We do the bad stuff, and then we get to the good stuff, folks. The bad stuff, and then we get to the good stuff. And there is a lot of good stuff today. We're going to get to it, but first we got to get to the bad stuff. And there is plenty. I haven't decided to put it into the show today, but there's news that Russian missiles struck Poland, killing citizens. There's all kinds of stuff happening around the world. But today, I'm going to leave that one until there's more information about it. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. But today I've got an, in my mind, equally tragic story about a Air National Guard member. And this is one of those things that just absolutely wrecks my heart to see. Kansas Air National Guard rock star airman killed drunk driving suspect in custody. An Air National Guard airman just driving, doing everything right when a drunk driver out of nowhere plows into her car and kills her. A Kansas Air National Guard member was killed over the weekend when a suspected drunk driver ran into her vehicle on U.S. Highway 24 near Topeka. Staff Sergeant Cheyenne Branson was a career development specialist in a 190th Air Refueling Wing, a statement issued Monday said. Branson, who was only 23 from Diana, Texas, was driving west Saturday night in her Chevy Cruze when Manuel Enriquez's Chevrolet Silverado pickup crossed the center line and hit her head on. Don't drink and drive, folks. Do not go out there and drink and drive. It's horrible. And the horrible thing about this is when these things tend to happen, you hear about the person who did it, the criminal, usually their 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 25th, 30th DUI. Cheyenne was an extraordinary airman who has made an impact on so many around her, Wing Commander Colonel Brian Budden said. I called her one of our rock stars. Social media posts from fellow wing members and relatives of Branson's echoed those sentiments. I am thankful to have been your friend and served with you, Tech Sergeant Mike McKenzie wrote on his Facebook page from the first time we met in my recruiting office as a nervous young lady ready to become more, to watching you get promoted to a staff sergeant a few short years later. I could not be more proud of you. You will be missed and never forgotten, Cheyenne Branson. Branson's mother, Christina, described her daughter on Facebook as a bright light in everyone's life and thanked the wing and others for the outpouring of sympathy, saying it meant the world. Enriquez was arrested on suspicion of DUI and second-degree murder, pinning him on the murder charge. Enriquez's vehicle rolled and he had no injuries. Isn't that always how it goes? Kills a young lady, takes her life, an Air National Guard member, gets away with no injuries, and will likely probably get out of jail in just a couple of years, or maybe not do any jail time at all nowadays. Who knows? It's an absolute disgrace. Lock that person up if they're found guilty for the rest of their natural lives. And to the family, my heart really goes out to you. That's an absolute disaster. And my heart breaks for you. My heart really does break because that is just the worst thing that can happen. Somebody out there doing everything right, just driving home. That could be any of us or our families. Just driving straight and narrow down the lane. Somebody crosses over and hits you. You have no chance. Absolute sad story there. So please, everyone, be safe out there on the roads, especially during the holiday season, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas, where people are out there drinking and traveling at the same time. Drinking, traveling, and often fatigued. Please be safe out there on the roads. That's my weekend safety brief for you. Horrible. Completely horrible. MC drops a $5 super chat. Sheba dog writing with a brush, writing the number one on a piece of paper. I have to describe the emojis that you guys send me because I can't see them here on Restream, the program that I use. So thank you, MC. By the way, guys, during the Indiegogo campaign, if you were going to drop a super chat, it would mean so much to me if you went over and made a donation to the Indiegogo instead. But all super chats that are happening now are going towards the documentary about Julian. So anything that you guys send my way financially or any purchases you make from scuttlebuttshow.com or anything like that is all going to the film. So just so you guys know. Sergeant Valdez says, don't ever drink and drive. Yep. Yep. That's sage advice. Listen to that one. Listen to that man's advice. So let's see. How do we move on to this next one? How do we move on? How do we even get here? How do we get here, get through it, and move on when we've got stories like this next one? U.S. Navy sailor sentenced to life in prison for killing pregnant Texas girlfriend. We've talked about this before. But now we have a sentencing. A U.S. Navy sailor has been sentenced to life in prison without parole after being convicted in the capital murder of his Houston girlfriend, who was pregnant with twins. Oof. Marcus Murphy, who was 36, drove from his home in Virginia to Charlotte, North Carolina, then flew to Detroit and then to Houston to get there. Then he went to Murphy. Then Murphy went to the apartment of his girlfriend, Ebony Harris, and stabbed her to death. The pregnant mother of two had recently told Murphy she was expecting twins and that they were his, although she was pregnant from another man. Well, she was pregnant from another man, but told him that those were his twins. Murphy had already had twins with his girlfriend in Virginia. So that's the second set of twins. He says, no, I'm not going to deal with these kids. I'd rather just end my life and your life and the lives of my families and everything. According to flight records, he booked a flight to Houston after she broke the news and was in town for 3 hours. Investigators tracked his cell phone to Harris's home during those hours, and his DNA was found underneath her fingernails. Her body was found in her home the next day. He left Houston, flew to Atlanta, Charlotte, and then Charlotte to pick up his car, spent more than $1,000 on plane tickets. He had hoped that this complicated flight would cover his tracks, but flight information, DNA, and cell phone records proved what he did. Ebony fought hard. She could not stop this man, and we're proud that this jury did. And they're referencing finding him guilty. Murphy wore his naval uniform throughout the week-long trial. Wore his naval uniform. Sick. Completely sick. Why would you do that? Trying to get some sympathy or something? Like, it's not going to work. In fact, it disgraces you more. Because every day that you look at somebody like that, a murderer in their naval uniform, you're reminded that this person lacks honor, courage, and commitment, all the core values of the Navy, not upholding the finest traditions of naval excellence, and will now have the rest of his life in prison to think about what he did. Condolences to the family, and I guess that's a wrap on this story. Absolute disgrace. Kitty says disgraceful as soon as I say disgraceful, and I think that that's perfect because that means that it's disgraceful indeed. Disgraceful indeed. But we're moving on. We're moving on. We've got a couple more crazy stories and then on to some good stuff, okay? I do have good stuff for you guys today. I do. We're going to get to it. But as always, we got to get through the muck to get to the positive, right? We got to go through the lows. I got to break you guys down and then build you back up. That's what keeps everybody coming back for more. And the muck gets a little deeper with this next story. Turns out that recruit who died during a crucible of heat exhaustion was murdered. Effectively, Paris Island drill instructor charged in 2021 death of Marine recruit. If you guys don't remember this, a Marine recruit finishing through the crucible died after suffering heat injuries, and it turns out it could have all been preventable and was actually negligence. A Marine Corps drill instructor at Paris Island in South Carolina has been charged in the 2021 death of Marine recruit PFC Dalton Beals. The charges against Staff Sergeant Stephen Smiley include one count of negligent homicide, one count of obstruction of justice, cruelty, oppression, or maltreatment of subordinates, and another count with four specifications of failure to obey orders. Those are serious charges, and those come from a spokesperson at Paris Island. Beals died in June 2021 as a result of extreme body temperature while completing the culminating boot camp training event, the Crucible. And it was over 90 degrees out when they were doing that. Now, that's not uncommon. And you wonder, you know, if you can't do the Crucible in 90 degrees, then how do you do combat in 120 degrees or 140 degrees? Well, heat injuries can happen in combat too. And in training, there are steps that are supposed to be taken to mitigate this type of thing, and those steps were completely ignored. An investigation shared with Marine Corps Times said Beals' death was likely avoidable and that Smiley was at fault for not properly overseeing Beals or other recruits, even making them do extra PT inappropriate for the day's weather conditions. Now, if you don't know, there are temperature ranges that dictate how much PT and work people are supposed to do when in the military. In fact, they fly certain flags. It could be a black flag day, a red flag day, blue flag day, any of these flag colors that represent the temperature. And when it's over 90 degrees, you get that black flag. And I've actually never seen this abided by, but theoretically, people are only supposed to work for 10 minutes at a time and then take 50 minutes of rest and plenty of hydration, all that stuff. People are out there working, people are out there PTing, but any good military member from boot camp on, including follow-on training, should have lots of training in heat casualties and cold casualties and first aid and identifying the warning signs. So it should be no wonder that this person was found for negligence, because they should have been, as a drill instructor, an expert in that type of thing. In early November, Brigadier General Walker Field, the commanding general at Parris Island, was considering whether to make the referral to a general court-martial and made the call by the end of the week. The investigation revealed that although Smiley was technically qualified to serve as a senior drill instructor, he did not have the maturity, temperament, and leadership skills necessary to be an effective senior drill instructor. Smiley, who became a staff sergeant in November 2017, was a Marine Corps aircraft rescue and firefighting specialist before becoming a drill instructor. He also reportedly worked as an AV-8B Harrier mechanic with Marine Attack Squadron 542 and deployed to Japan with them. So he wasn't even a grunt. Stacey Beals, the mother of PFC Dalton Beals, shared with the Marine Corps Times she was hopeful justice would be served. One step at a time, she says, and definitely heading in the right direction, adding that an arraignment will likely take place after Thanksgiving. This is far from over. So to fight for justice for their son, their family member pictured here, is just starting. And here is Stephen Smiley, the drill instructor who was responsible for the ignoring the heat injury and pushing this person to fatal limits. So what do you guys think should happen? What do you think the punishment for that type of thing should be? You let me know in the comment section down below. I think you need to, you know, slow it down a little bit. Just slow it down a little bit, and then you can get people through training. Here's the question. What does, you know, I know it's the Crucible, but in the grand scheme of things, in the career of a Marine, stopping in the Crucible to just get treated, to just get evaluated for heat injuries, it's nothing. It's nothing. Just stop, evaluate the recruit, make sure that they're okay, get them back in training or roll them back to the next division, whatever they would do, like a Navy boot camp or something like that, or in BUDS or whatever it is. If you just stop for 2 minutes, you can save a life. Not only do you save a life, but then you gain a Marine, you get them through training, you get them out to the fleet, you get them into, you know, SOI or wherever they're going to, you get them out to the fleet. Instead, you decide, no, we're hardcore. We're too hardcore for that, so we're just going to let this kid die. And then you lose a Marine, you ruin your own life, or maybe you don't. Maybe you never are found guilty, and you never get called out for negligence. And then you live the rest of your life with that guilt, knowing that you ended someone's life for what? To prove how hard you are? It's pointless. It's meaningless. So let me know what you guys think about that. I'm curious. Mudrock, what's up? Punishment PT on Black Flag Days at Leavenworth. Yep. Kitty says that one to me is tough because no one really listens to the Heat Cats. Yep. Heat Cats get mocked without mercy. Yep. That's true. And what are you going to do? You know, in Iraq, when it was 120 degrees outside, we didn't not work. You work. But if you're a heat casualty, that's a serious condition. If you have heat stroke, that's a lifelong condition. Heat stroke one time, you end up with a lifelong condition. So I remember feeling like I was going to have heat stroke a few times. Some of that was just on ships working inside of an aircraft in the summer out in the flight deck going, oh my God, I'm going to die in here. This thing's a sauna. It gets pretty hot. But if you're in combat, if you're in a combat zone, you've got to do it. But why do it? Why risk it in training? It's really not worth it. Kitty says they had us in a trailer once when it was summer PTing and the walls were sweating by the time we were done. No one fainted or died though, but it was absolutely sucked. But yep, that sounds like it would suck. But Eviana says a good leader will attack the mission, but also make sure his men are good to go. I agree. I agree. I like how Regal said heat cats get mocked without mercy. I mean, it's true, but look, is it worth it to let somebody stroke out and die from heat? Of course it's not. Of course it's not. So crazy news, crazy, crazy, crazy news out of Japan. Japan scrambles fighters for Chinese aircraft near Okinawa. It's long been my belief that if there's a war with China, Okinawa will be wiped out immediately, completely wiped out. Japanese fighter jets scrambled to intercept three Chinese aircraft, including a drone near Okinawa on Monday. The Japan Air Self-Defense Force intercepted a BZK-005 high-altitude reconnaissance drone, a Yankee 9 intelligence-gathering aircraft, and a Yankee 9 patrol aircraft that flew between Okinawa and Miyako Island, 175 miles to the southwest, a spokesman for the joint staff told Stars and Stripes. Miyako, that island, and that strait that they're flying is all part of the Okinawa Prefecture, which is a chain of islands at the southernmost tip of Japan. The spokesman declined to provide details of the self-defense force response, including how many or what type. None of the Chinese aircraft entered Japanese airspace, but you know, when you're flirting with the line and you're trying to see what the response is, that's a typical enemy TTP. Chinese aircraft rarely fly northbound after flying between the two islands, the spokesperson said, which is what made this unusual. However, these aircraft turned north after passing through the Miyako Strait from the East China Sea, then continued into an area off the east coast of Okinawa where the Yankee 9s flew a box pattern, and then they returned on the same route. Japanese authorities cannot be certain, but the Chinese aircraft may have been gathering information on the Kinsoar 23 exercise underway across Japan, including the area surrounding Okinawa and the Ryukyu, which is the Okinawa island chain islands. We will carefully observe China's military move, continue our surveillance activities, and take all possible measures to act against any airspace violation. Interesting. Interesting what's going on out there. It says, we are conducting this drill, the Keen Sword, to get ready for any situation. We are conducting this drill in the non-sea islands, including Yanaguni, to establish a watertight self-defense in the whole country. So Japan and the United States participating in exercises out there to secure Japan while Chinese aircraft fly probing security forces around Okinawa. Okinawa being the largest staging area for the U.S. military in the Pacific, critical to the efforts of World War II. And in my opinion, would immediately be targeted by massive strikes if there ever was a global conflict with China. So everyone out there in Okinawa, please be safe and let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section. Typical enemy TTP. Let's see how close we can get. Then let's see what they do. And that's what the enemies will do. AN says Chinese lucky the Japanese didn't mistake it for a target aircraft. Or get, you know, spooked and escalate. That's good. The Japanese self-defense forces are out there. I've seen them training, working, doing their thing. They look very professional, honorable guys and gals. And even my neighbor's son joined while we were there. So that's really cool. It looks like Harry Lime Pie said they need to send him to a new brig at Fort Hood. Oh, and Fort Hood is a brig itself, isn't it? Looks like we've got a... We're on to the good stuff, folks. We're on to something good, something positive, something happy, go lucky. Finally, is that fair to say? Is it fair to say finally at this point? Finally, a positive story today. And this one makes me jump with joy. In fact, it makes me want to pound my chest and like a gorilla and roar like a lion. Charges dismissed against Marines who stranded more than 100 people at the San Diego Zoo gondola when they started stomping their feet and rocking the thing back and forth and getting people stuck up there for hours on TAD from, I believe, Yuma. At the time, these Marines were charged with felony charges. You could kill somebody. You could rob somebody. You could get a DUI in San Diego and not get felony charges. But they decided to pin felony charges on these Marines. But thank God, those charges have been dismissed. Prosecutors have dropped vandalism charges against four Marines who were arrested in January for allegedly stalling the San Diego Zoo's gondola. The San Diego County District Attorney dismissed all charges against the clients, the lawyers speaking here, on Monday, November 7th, in the interest of justice. The Marines paid $18,000 in restitution already, and he says, I am honored to have represented these young gentlemen and wish them a lengthy and rewarding career in the United States Marine Corps. I hope that they do get to stay in the Marine Corps. Under a plea agreement struck with prosecutors, the Marines were required to pay the restitution and avoid committing any other offenses for 6 months in exchange for all the charges being dismissed. The Marines have no future court dates. Lopez, which is the attorney, said he was unable to comment on whether his clients have been disciplined by the Marine Corps, and hopefully they have not, but there's a good chance that they have. The restitution order by the court reimburses the zoo for losses incurred as a result of the damage caused, covering repairs and inspection costs and related expenses. You know what the sad part is you know that the Marines didn't mean to do that. It was an accident. Look at all the things you can do on purpose. Robbery, assault, all different kinds of assault, trespassing, and just you get no charges at all whatsoever in San Diego. But these guys, you know, they go out there, they do something stupid, they do mess up, but they end up getting charged $18,000 and they try to ruin their lives, felony charges and all this stuff. All of the Marines were assigned to Marine Fighter Attack Squadron 225 out of Yuma, and they were conducting training at Air Station Miramar at the time. The Marines were Lance Corporal Marquette Williams, Lance Corporal Braden Posey, Corporal Brandon Cook, and Sergeant Jacob Bauer. Following a command investigation, the Marines' leadership addressed the matter appropriately. Gave him a little spanking. The command took appropriate administrative action, said Engelhardt, adding that the four Marines have paid the full restitution to the San Diego Zoo. Engelhardt's wing spokesman, Major Mason Engelhardt. When they appeared in court for their arraignment in February, Deputy District Attorney Abri Zora told the TV station out there that each Marine could face up to 3 years in prison. What a joke. We take every case seriously. Yeah, right. That's not true. A lot of people were put in danger, but regardless of them being Marines or not, every case is evaluated the same. Also, not true. So a lot of that stuff's totally bogus, and the justice system is a huge joke, especially out here in California. So it is good to see that these Marines will not end up in prison with their lives completely ruined for their shenanigans. Aren't Marines supposed to commit shenanigans? Aren't Marines shenaniganly? Let me know if Marines are truly shenaniganly in the comments section down below. Good for them. Good thing they got a good lawyer. Kitty says, I'm sorry, this story still cracks me up. AN says, their careers were also dismissed. That is hilarious. That is hysterical. The jury has found you civilians. That's crazy. Why San Diego? It's just California. California in general is just it's laughable. It's truly laughable. Okay. We are going to be doing some reactions, some big time. We're going to be reacting to some stuff. There is one more kind of sad thing coming up, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to be doing some reactions, starting with this next story, which is pretty good. Former Greene County District Attorney detective accused of making false claims to get hired. A former detective with the Greene County District Attorney's Office is accused of making false claims about his military service and lying on his resume to get the job. It's like that old meme when you lie on a resume but still get the job. Let's take a look at this story right here.
The complaint says this former employee misled the Greene County District Attorney, county commissioners, and HR before he was hired as a detective. And court documents say his employment lasted just 2 weeks.
One of the biggest things and most important things is that, you know, when I'm applying to law enforcement, that people are honest about their, you know, their backgrounds and their qualifications.
What if that guy was just on the street that day? I mean, that guy doesn't scream authority to me. What if that guy was just walking down the street and they're like, do you work here at the government? And he's like, yeah, I'm a cop. And they're like, cool, let's interview. He's like, sweet. All right. Can I have a cigarette?
But District Attorney David Russo alleging dishonesty in the case of a former employee, a source sharing this photo of Tim Neese with.
Oh, my God. Look at that operator. Look at that operator right there. Do you even operate, bro? Oh my gosh.
us. He is facing these charges, accused of defrauding county officials by making numerous false statements about his professional record to get hired as a detective with the DA's office. Court documents say some of Neese's work history was unverifiable.
The defendant made false claims of military service to gain employment through government offices. My office has the utmost respect for our veterans and the sacrifices that they've made. So we take claims of stolen valor very seriously.
Court documents.
You're stealing it, bro. You're stealing it with that operator photo. Who do you think you are?
Say shortly after Neese started, his professional record was called into question when requests were made for his certifications, training, and clearances to build a personnel file, something that's standard for sworn officers. The complaint says, quote, Neese brought a binder to DA Russo, but refused to allow him to inspect and or copy the records for the personnel file. Immediately afterwards, Neese told DA Russo that he was resigning.
You can't fire me. I quit. Oh, classic. I love it. Hey, can we get a copy of that DD-214?
How dare you? 5'11", Black Rifle Coffee, I'm out of here.
These charges coming nearly a year and a half after Neese's employment with the DA's office ended.
Our county detectives had to coordinate through NCIS and other government agencies to verify and validate what was true or what was not true.
According to the complaint, Neese's oral resignation was ultimately deemed a termination due to the circumstances. I reached out to Neese tonight to try to get his side of the story, but he declined to comment. Reporting in Greene County, Kaylee Gunderson, Pittsburgh's Action News.
Thank you, Kaylee Gunderson. You go out there, you steal valor, you know what you're going to get? Oh my God. You know what you're going to get? Fired. You got canned, man, because you cannot steal valor. Don't do it to yourself. Just don't. Just don't steal the valor and you'll be fine, folks. Why? And you know what? They didn't give them any details right there, but you know with that operator AF photo, you know he was like Black Ops, Spec War, Green Beret, Navy SEAL, MARSOC, Raider, Presidential Detail. I can't tell you about my training. It's too classified. You guys know the type. It's always the same stuff. So thank goodness out there, they actually got him. They actually figured it out, and he's not out there patrolling the streets as a sworn officer. Could you imagine? All right, that's it. Stolen valor, baby. Let's go. I love some stolen valor, and there's more of that to come. Let me know, folks, in the comments about that one, because we're going to go right into another one. I need to get my another one sound effect back. We're going to go right into another one because there's just so much stolen. There's enough stolen valor to go around, folks. Let's go. Let's go right into it. Man accepts plea deal in federal court after lying about being a Navy SEAL to secure a loan, making him today's Scuttlebutt Show Clown of the Day. A Lexington man who lied about being a Navy SEAL and put false information on loan documents in order to start a horse business, has accepted a plea deal in federal court. It never stops with these guys. Christopher Rusty Custer, come on, man, accepted a plea deal on October 31st in United States District Court in Eastern District and pled guilty to one charge of bank fraud, according to court documents. Rusty Custer originally faced, they always have the dumbest names too. Rusty Custer originally faced four charges, including two counts of bank fraud and two counts of wire fraud. The indictment said Rusty Custer falsely purported to be a Navy SEAL in 2018 when he applied for a loan from Traditional Bank to buy a home and land in Lexington for an equine business. Is this written by like a 10-year-old future true crime author? Rusty Custer falsely reported to Traditional Bank to start a horse business. It's like, come on. Custer allegedly misrepresented his finances, character, and personal history in documents he gave to the bank in May 2018, all the way until August 2019. He is also charged with sending false information about his financial status by email to an investor in 2019 to get a loan for an oil and gas pipeline inspection business. You know what Rusty Custer was going to do? He was going to hop on his horses and ride from oil drilling pipeline to oil drilling pipeline and inspect them and let him know as a Navy SEAL, he knows a thing or two about oil pipes because he's diffused bombs like in the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game in those many times. Oh my goodness. State records show a person with the name set up a business called Moon Dance Farm. So that's a stable person comes up with a name like that in February 2018 and dissolved in October 2019 for not filing an annual report. Rusty Custer set up another business called Wildcat Field Services in October 2019. It was dissolved a year later after, again, not filing an annual report. He forfeited, in his forfeiture claims, they're trying to recover $1.5 million that he received as a result of fraud. The plea agreement said he just has to pay back $300,000, which Rusty Custer agrees is more accurate representative of the amount he stole. He faces up to 30 years in prison, a fine of not more than $1 million buckarooskies, and a term of supervised release up to 5 years. But what do you think this fake Navy SEAL should get? You let me know in the comments down below. And have you ever encountered any real stolen valor out there? Let me know that in the comments down below too. Oh my goodness. What a rock star. Rusty Custer went to traditional bank. If I wasn't finding these articles and double checking them, I'd think I was making this stuff up too, folks. What can you even say? Oh my gosh. Okay, so Harry Lime Pie says that guy now works at Mickey D's. If he was lucky, he would work at Mickey D's. If he was lucky. Rusty Custer. Oh my gosh. I wonder if there's any photos of him out there. I'm trying to look right now. Rusty Custer. I don't see him. Nope. Anyway. All right, guys. We got one more negative story, and then we're going to get into a couple feel-good ones by the end of the day, okay? This is a horrible, crazy, no good, downright dirty story out here. Ugh. Let's get into it. Let's get this over with so we can wrap up with a couple positive things and get you all out there enjoying your Tuesday evening. Kitty says, I went on a date who claimed he was a Navy SEAL while in the Army on a date in San Diego. Oh my gosh. How did you figure out he wasn't? You type in how you figured out he wasn't a Navy SEAL, and I'm going to go into this next story. Absolute insanity here. We've got a news report out of Bakersfield. Amputee veteran loses his home to some criminal activity. Let's watch this and react to it.
We are back now with a story that is nothing short of heartbreaking. A local veteran is in dire straits on this Veterans Day. He's lost everything, including his home. But he hasn't lost hope. Here with another installment in his ongoing series, Where We Live, is 17's Robert Price.
For months now, for years really, Bakersfield has been plagued with fires in vacant homes. One of the latest victims, a double amputee veteran who now has no place to go. Oh,
Johnny O'Neill had enough problems already.
I had been there about, 5 or 6 years or more?
A double amputee because of diabetes. The retired oil field worker and 3-year U.S. Army veteran was hospitalized with COVID-19 in late September for 5 days. Thieves took the opportunity to burglarize his 1,000-square-foot house on Virginia Avenue multiple times, stealing his handicap-accessible truck, a camper, a car trailer, his TV, and all his appliances.
They literally went in, and they stole any and everything that they can.
I found out that my house had been burglarized.
Then things got bad while he was in a local convalescent hospital.
Then things got bad? Oh, my God. How could it get any worse? Welcome to America in 2022.
Hospital still recovering from COVID, someone burned down his house, a modest place, uninsured, that had been in the family for 100 years.
They burned my house down and set my truck on fire. I don't know who did it.
His daughter was stunned.
I don't know if it's salvageable or not.
Grandma raised chickens and hogs. She grew up playing in the yard.
It's a lot of memories over here. It is a legacy in our family.
Janetta O'Neill's great-grandmother was the home's first owner. She passed it down to Janetta's grandmother, the current owner, who's 102 years old. Johnny O'Neill has survived the virus, and he's ready to go home, but he has no home to go to. Friends of his daughter, who works for a local credit union, have established a GoFundMe account for his financial recovery. They're hoping construction workers, business owners, anyone might be able to donate building materials, labor, anything. In Southeast Bakersfield, Robert Price, 17 News.
That is exactly the kind of cause that Bakersfield rallies around, in Kern County for that matter, and so just hoping that that happens this time.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a positive update next week. Yeah.
Oh my God. Absolutely terrible, folks. That's one of the worst thing that I've ever seen. This guy, old senior citizen, veteran, double amputee, trying to just enjoy his retired life as best he can. He's not in good health. He's just trying to live out his days. And you go to the hospital. You get admitted for care. And what happens when you're not home? People burn down. It's totally needless. It's senseless. Burn down your house. Burn down your truck. Take all your things, everything in your home that you've had for in your family for 100 years. And you know what the government does about it? You know what the police do about it? Nothing. Nothing. It's a disgrace. Oh, my God. Total tragedy. Ugh. We'll check on that GoFundMe and see what's going on. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. That is California right there, folks. That is California in 2022. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ooh, shake that one off. We got a couple positive ones coming up, guys. We got a couple good things coming up. Regal says, I met a Green Beret, in quotes, at a bar. He was a twiggy little blank and would give me the it's classified excuse to everything I asked. If someone tells you that their service was classified, they're lying to you. Practically no one in the military has many, if any, classified things that they can't talk about. There's almost nothing. Almost everything that someone does in the military, they're allowed to talk about pretty in-depth. Pretty in-depth. And if there are classified, like if somebody said, oh, I was a nuclear reactor technician on submarines. And I was like, tell me in detail how those submarines work and what their biggest weaknesses are. And he was like, it's classified. I'd be like, all right, cool, legit. But if I was like, what's it like being a nuke on a sub? And he goes, it's classified. I'd be like, you're stolen valor all day. Although nobody would steal valor about that because that would be cool. That would mean that they're smart and educated and serve their country honorably and all this stuff. No, it's the people they go, well, I was a Navy SEAL, Master Chief, commander of SEAL Team 6 for 50 years. I'm 38. Time travel. It's classified. It's always like that. Valdez says, what did you do on Veterans Day? Well, you know what I did? You know what I did on Veterans Day? Let's take a detour. I was talking about Julian, a jiu-jitsu story. My new film that currently has an Indiegogo campaign going on. We've raised already $3,200 because there's a private backer who chipped in $1,000. So we're currently at $3,200 of our Indiegogo campaign. Check it out. Link in the description for that. Go over, make a contribution if you can. But if you can just share this link on your social media, it would mean the world to me. Check out the video. The video's on there and you can check out more about what we're doing. But that's what I did on my Veterans Day. The 5-year anniversary of the Scuttlebutt Show. I'm out there trying to raise some money to make this film. Thank you for asking. Kitty says, I know it's shocking, but the Navy SEALs are only in the Navy. Turned out he'd only been in JROTC and trying to pick up girls with his imaginary military career. Wow. People are real pieces of poop. I hope he gets all his stuff back. Yes, I hope so too about that veteran. Dude was at the bar in BDUs to top it off. Oh my God. If somebody goes to the store, to the bar in BDUs or like their camis, they're probably doing something bad. Unless they're with a group. I mean, it's really like never okay. But unless you're with a group at some kind of event, it's probably something suspicious. I was at the grocery store and there was a woman checking out wearing an Air Force camo top. I don't know what they call those, the Air Force blouse. And it had the rank, it had the name, everything. And I was like, why is she? She was old, probably 60 years old. I'm like, why is she wearing that? It was a new uniform, so I don't think that it was hers. Why is she wearing that? Why could it be? Always asking about their ribbons, Kitty said. Yes. Yes. It's classified. It's classified. What ribbons do you have? It's classified. I love that. Oh, love that. Okay. Now we have a couple positive stories to wrap the day up. Let's start with this one here. And I haven't watched this whole thing yet, but I got a little bit ways through it, and I said, I got to live react to this one. Looks like a good Samaritan on Veterans Day reunited with some precious items, and we're going to talk about that. Let's watch this video.
Man, to lose that ring and then find it of all days today. Yeah, Donna, it all went down today on Veterans Day. I talked to Megan Boggs, who found that ring earlier today, and about an hour after our interview, the ring was claimed. The timing was perfect because Boggs said after finding the ring today, her concern was that a veteran would realize the ring was lost and then it'd ruin the holiday.
We were just going to the store to look at video games, look down, and the gym caught my eye.
A Good Samaritan's finding, eventually bringing a sigh of relief for a newly retired U.S. Army veteran.
Bro. Can you warn him before you're going to take the picture? What is this? What is that face? I mean, let's approach this with a positive attitude that this is legit, that everything about this is legit. But if you're going to take a photo of this dude, Sisik, it looks like his name is, please give him a second. Give him a minute. Let him get his face together. Jeez Louise, why would the news put this photo on there? Savage by Fox.
On Veterans Day.
I was like, I think I ran my ring over in my truck and it like flung off.
Aaron Sisik says he lost his ring this Veterans Day morning in Conway.
Everything that I ever got from the Army, like I kept. And the only thing that I really ever have that I wore was my tags and my ring.
His wife finding the ring in a Facebook post by Boggs, who discovered it and was trying to find the owner.
Well, today's Veterans Day, so I figured maybe someone put it on and was trying to wear it.
The ring brings back memories for Sisik, and he tries to focus on the good ones.
I had it made just as a reminder of like accomplishment.
The ring is extra meaningful as a veteran, which he says has not been easy so far.
Every month I'm at the hospital.
In May of this year, Sisik had to retire from the Army due to injuries, and he currently suffers from a traumatic brain injury.
I broke my back really bad, and I hit the side of my head, falling down a cliff. I couldn't meet.
I am so sorry. Oh my God. I am today's Scuttlebutt Show clown of the day. Oh man, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I did say we're approaching this positive attitude.
The Army standards.
Sisik says he's grateful Boggs found the ring and worked hard to find the owner because it's a ring that reminds him every day of why he chose to serve.
I mean, you can have ribbons and you can have medals, but I'm not going to every day wear all those things.
As we saw, that ring does have a big dent in it from when it was run over, and Sisik says he's taking it to a jeweler to try and get it fixed so he can wear it again. But he's thankful someone not only found it but also considered how important it would be to get back to a veteran on a day like today. Reporting live in studio, Samantha Boyd, Fox 16 News.
Okay. There's a lesson to be learned here. Watch the whole thing. Watch the whole thing and then make a comment. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section down below. Happy Veterans Day, Sisik. I'm really glad that you got your ring back. That's a great story, and it really made my day to see a community come together and show some support. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service, and I hope you're doing well out there. Oh my goodness. Give it a minute. Usually you just got to give something 30 more seconds. Didn't we talk about this at the top of the episode with the heat casualty story? Just give it a second. Just give it one more second to see what's going on. Oh my gosh. Oh my. Is that what they say? Oh my. I'm going to rebound. We have one more story today, guys, and I'm going to get you out of here. And it is going to be a feel-good one. Hope you have your boogie shoes on. What am I talking about? Because this next story is about music. U.S. Army Pensacola native selected to DJ during Detroit Pistons halftime show. That's pretty cool. Let's watch this video and see who's bringing the beats to the Pistons court.
A Pensacola native and Army soldier returned to his base assignment today in Fort Polk, Louisiana, after a trip of a lifetime. Army Warrant Officer Maurice Pruitt was selected by the NBA's Detroit Pistons last week to DJ the halftime show. The Pistons hosted a military appreciation event in support of our troops ahead of the Veterans Day holiday. They were looking for any active duty soldiers who could handle DJ duties. Pruitt was asked to submit a letter to the Pistons as to why he was the best fit for the job, and they said yes. He received a letter back saying he had been chosen, and you see the work he did there. Maybe we can try to get some sound on there sometime after the show and hear just exactly how good he did.
This was something major, and to be chosen for it, I was just thankful. I was living in a dream all the way until when I was on. I was like, I'm dreaming right now. Because it was crazy. I never been to an NBA game, so to actually go to an NBA game and then DJ at the NBA game was amazing.
No, you're demonetizing me.
Florida High School. 2005 before joining the U.S. Army. How about that, Joe? Can you DJ?
I can absolutely not DJ.
All right, good for him. That's awesome. Also, that guy looks so young to be a warrant when I saw him in that video DJ, and I was like, how is this possible? So there he goes on the ones and twos while the game is played. That's pretty cool. Pruitt was asked to submit a letter to the Pistons explaining why he was the best soldier for the job. A few days later, he received a letter back saying he'd been chosen. This was something major I've been chosen for. I was thankful. Actually, I was living in a dream, he says. That's awesome. Good for him and good for the Pistons to go out there and, you know, make that happen for him. Happy Veterans Day to this Army chief out there. That's really cool. Have you guys ever been to an NBA game? And are you DJs? Let me know in the comments section about that. I look forward to hearing it. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for today's Scuttlebutt Show. Oh, my God. I'm humiliated. I'm so embarrassed. Why did I run my mouth about that guy's face before I had the whole story? MC says, OMG, and I wrote that before the news was given. She said, let him get his face together with Laffy Face. Yeah, we know that's not what you mean. Happy late Veterans Day to you, Valdez, also, and everybody else out there. It's great to be back with you on another episode. And I'll be back tomorrow, too. Everything's going great out here. We're rocking and rolling in the Scuttlebutt world. But what would really mean a lot to me is if you guys took a second, clicked on the Indiegogo campaign link and see what you can do to help make this film the best possible film it can be. And if you can, on your social medias, just share it. Just give it a shout. Let the world know what we're doing. Let your friends and family know. And maybe they want to make a contribution too. I appreciate you all so much. It's been so fun to be here with you today. I'll be back tomorrow. I look forward to talking to you all very soon. For now, that's the Scuttlebutt.